the electric eels of Parramatta.
Mr. Perpetual Motion and Mr. Nice Guy, Michael Cronin, are held aloft. The siren has sounded and Parramatta has taken out their third premiership in a row. The Eels of Parramatta still rule supreme over the rugby league scene here in Sydney.
A huge welcome to the Parramatta's podcast. Now, Bernie is away this week, and filling in for him is none other than Emerald's sexiest man alive from 2008, Jono. You know this guy from the Parapit Teamless Tuesday videos that he does with Bernie. Well, he's been kind enough to fill in for the Burn unit this evening. So, mate, how would you be?
Biro, I'm good, mate, I think. I mean, I'd be better if the weekend result went our way, but we'll see.
Yes, yes. Well, before we get to that, let's focus on some positive things, which is that we're both going to meet at Magic Round the following weekend. So pretty pumped about that. I'm looking forward to it. You and I went last year and we had a good time.
We absolutely did. And real glad to make this an annual pilgrimage, mate. Very stoked for it. Very keen.
Now, do you, because my mate T-Dog, who I also do another podcast, the Dummy M, and T-Dog is my co-host, he keeps talking to me saying, this is the last year it's going to be in Brisbane. They're going to move it around. I'm yet to hear that to actually be confirmed. Like, do you hear any rumours around this or?
Well, I've heard rumours they wanted to take it to Perth, and I've heard rumours they wanted to take it to Auckland.
Mm-hmm.
But considering they haven't taken any rugby league games to Auckland in like 3 years or 2 years, however long it's been, I've heard nothing official that they're moving it. So I hope not. Brisbane's a great location.
Yeah, Suncorp Stadium is amazing. And I say that as a New South Welshman. So I think it's pretty safe that it'll be, Magic Round will be in Queensland next year. So we will, this time round, we've got to get an apartment again. And I've been doing my army cooking, so I'll cater the whole thing. And yeah, well, lots of beers, lots of good food and lots of footy.
That's it. 3 days of beer and footy and good food and good times, mate. There's always plenty of memories to be made on Magic Round weekend.
Absolutely. And I wanted to start on a positive note because now we're going to talk about the Cowboys game on the weekend. And there really isn't too much that falls into the positive category on that, is there?
No, there really isn't. Very underwhelming performance, 1 through 17. Not sure why we always have to play the Cowboys when we play in Darwin. Sort of takes away the any advantage that we sort of have.
Mm-hmm.
And we were rightly found out, I think. The gas tanks burnt a lot quicker than usual, and the Cowboys were obviously better able to adapt.
Yeah, of course, they're acclimatised. Now, I understand the players wanting a trip to Darwin because Darwin is a mad town. If you've never been to the Territory, it is phenomenal. I've never heard a bad word said about it. It is an amazing place. So I totally get if the players want to go up there and have a week up there and have a bit of fun and go to the casino and whatnot. So I understand that element of it. But yeah, we do sacrifice, one, the crowd, because they're obviously predominantly more favoured towards the Cowboys than they are the Eels. And two, the fact that acclimatisation is a real thing. It happens in boxing all the time. Guys who go and fight at elevation and they turn up a week before the fight and they run out of gas because they're not acclimatised to that, you know, that humidity or that elevation. So yeah, it's not the smartest move, but I was blown away, and you were the one who was correcting me on this, that when the commentators said, oh, this is a home game for Parramatta. Now, granted, I was sizably beard at that point, and I'm like, what's this home game nonsense? How does it work?
To my knowledge, Parramatta has a sponsorship deal with the Northern Territory government. We actually had the Northern Territory government logo on the middle of our jersey up the top.
Okay.
A couple of years ago, I'm actually not sure if the deal expired and we're just making up games for it now, because you don't see much in the way of promotional work for the Northern Territory government now. I just wonder, because of COVID, if we're still a couple of games behind on our current deal. I really couldn't tell you, but that was the reason, because we used to have a trial game in Alice Springs as well before the season, as part of the sponsorship deal with the NT government. And yeah, that's why we go to TIO Stadium and play a couple of games. But I don't think we got there last year, so maybe we're a game behind. But you know, if Parramatta's looking to maybe end that deal sooner rather than later, it might not be the worst option the way we played up there.
Okay, so let's get into it. So, I mean, I believe when the last time we played there that we did defeat the Cowboys. So it's not a certainty that the Cowboys always win in Darwin. But the writing was on the wall going into this match for a couple of elements in our team. So let's talk about that. Obviously, the big one that's causing all the big stir online, which we're going to get to later, Dylan Brown being moved out of position and Jake Arthur being put into his spot. So that obviously hasn't worked. I mean, the commentators before the match were going, gee, I don't understand why Brad Arthur's doing this. I personally, this doesn't make sense to me. Even they were calling it out. Now, Dylan Brown did not shine. He has shone in every other single game when he has been. He's in his career best form. And it just boggles the mind that he made this decision.
Yeah, he just didn't spark the attack the way he usually does. Mm. He's not in the position that he's used to. You know, pivot's technically, what, two wide from the ruck. He's now three or four wide from the ruck. So instead of taking one pass to get to Dylan, it now takes two.
Mm.
And, you know, the Cowboys were in form. They're the best defensive team in the NRL at the moment, believe it or not.
Yep.
A team I tipped for the wooden spoon.
Mm.
They were, you know, the writing was on the wall. Battling injuries. Dylan Brown's out of position. The Cowboys are on a roll. It's in a climate that's suited the Cowboys down to the ground, and they just took every advantage and every opportunity that we gave them, and we were rightly punished. We were it was a big shock and a big wake-up call to our boys, I think.
See, there's a couple of things there I want to unpack, but I'll start at the end. I'm just yet to see wake-up calls. I'm yet to see lessons learned with this team. Every time we have a game like that, we make the assumption as fans, they'll learn from this. And as it turns out, that's just not happening at Parramatta. I mean, yeah, we talk about Craig Bellamy, okay? His strength is he gets every single player and he says, your job is this, and they practice it, and that player does their job. Now, how many times did we see Sivo and Fergo not in the spot where they needed to be? And you would think after one, two, three games tops that that would be shut down. I mean, Bernie was making the point about it seems like Pennacini and Bailey Simonson have got together and really sorted out that right wing. They've sorted it out. You know, the defense there is. So they're working in tandem. But we didn't see that happen last year, the year before. And I keep coming back to this point that I really think that anything that's happened with Simonson and Pennacini is they've gotten together and done it. It's not coming from above. It's that we're a team who have a lot of magic, a lot of talent on the field, but it's the decisions above that are completely and utterly ruining our shot at our premiership window year. And I think it's shut already. I think it is totally shut. I think we've jumped out of the gate. Let me draw a comparison here because I know you do an F1 podcast. So you're into your Formula One. We've started with the wrong tyres on. We've come out in the wrong gear. We've blown a tyre and it's the coach's job to change that tyre. Well, he's put the wrong one on. And, you know, now there have been a few things not working in our favour, particularly injuries. Absolutely. That's not his fault or anyone else's fault. But it's the coach's job or the crew pit's job to ensure that that car's running at optimum capacity. And by putting people out of position, by not resting players, and that's another factor that was going to hurt us in Darwin, that the humidity is there, the Cowboys are used to it, and BA's not resting our players. He doesn't rotate the bench well. You know, we talk about it every week. So I really think at this stage, there's no indication that he's going to change tack, that he's going to learn his lessons, he's going to learn from these mistakes. And yeah, mate, I had predicted 7th or 8th, but I wouldn't be shocked if now we don't make the top 8.
Well, yeah, the team just seems to be spinning in circles. You know, you watch Mitch Moses in these pre-game press conferences and, like, you know, he's like, oh, if we go step for step with them, it's the same thing he said against the Tigers.
Mm.
You know, we'll be right. We've just got to control the ball. We've got to go set for set with them. And, you know, at the start of the game, it seemed like we were going to do that. And then by half time, we're down 15-0 and the boys looked completely out of ideas. And I guess there's no fresh concepts or fresh tactics or change of tactics or change of tact from the coach's box, from Brad Arthur, to reinvigorate the team, to maybe try something different. Because the Cowboys just seemed to read us like a book all night. Mm. And it was a really bad look for this team that has this much talent. You know, the boys, some of the boys tried some different things. Reed tried a bit of a running game. Gutho was trying a short kicking game. But everything just seemed out of sync and slow. And there was no spark. There was nothing from Brad or from the players to refire the team, to try something different that maybe the Cowboys weren't expecting. It was just a really flat, uninspired performance for mine.
I keep saying it. We really don't have set plays. We really don't get direction, it seems. And I feel, and again, it's not an attack on BA, but he's more of a hindrance than he's a help these days with the decisions that he's making.
I think, me and Bernie, we discussed this on the parapet as well, about the absence of Paul McGregor, who's supposed to be there, who apparently we signed to help Brad in a coaching aspect, but seemingly no one's getting in his ear about all these weird decisions he makes, the bench rotation, the selection of Jake that's growing in anger from the fan base every week.
Yep.
It's putting himself and this team under an awful lot of pressure. And we're only, 9 weeks into a 25-week season?
Mm.
Like, there's a long way to go. And this team's going to have to start showing that they can show up to these winnable, in air quotes, games if they're going to be a contender from this point, because we seem to be slipping in games that we really shouldn't be slipping in.
Mm.
The Parramatta's podcast, because Parramatta fans matter.
Now let's talk a little bit about Gutho, because a few weeks back, one of the gentlemen on Sportsbet, you know, one of the ads came up and he talked about Gutho's in, you know, season best form. And I'm like, are they rerunning this from last year or the year before? Because he's not this year. And it's not a knock on Gutho, but he hasn't seemed to have found his groove yet. And when you combine that with what I think, let me draw a comparison with soccer, is that the first time David Beckham got shut down, he was never the same player. Yeah. Or Brian Lara with Glenn McGrath. And I really start to think that a little bit like Tom Trbojevic, is that people have figured, you know what, as soon as he gets the ball, just tackle him. And that just shuts down all the magic. And it really feels like all the teams, not just the top teams, it feels like all the teams are starting to get their read on Gutho. And combine that with his form, he's not where he should be or he normally is.
Yeah, you know, this was a man who was making 200 run meters a game.
Mm.
And the heart and the soul and the motor of this team, making meters upon meters. He was always there in attack. He was always probing the inside ball. And this year, it just seems really flat. Like, even defensively, he's always been a bit of a workhorse at the back, but he's strolling through games, it seems. He's lost a step, and I can't put my finger on it as to why. I really don't have an answer as to why he just seems to be just going through the motions almost. It's disheartening, and I don't know. I don't have an answer as to why it hasn't been at his best. And it's been 9 weeks. You'd think if he needed time to warm into the season, it's well and truly past that. Now it's time to maybe start standing up a little bit, but he's a step or two behind last year. I don't know if he's carrying an injury or his daughter is keeping him up at all hours of the night.
Yeah.
He's lost a lot of sleep, maybe, but I think he holds himself to a high enough standard as to where maybe if he thinks his game's lacking a little bit, he'd want to find it sooner or later.
Yeah, I'm happy to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's just in a little bit of a form slump. And to say that, you know, an out-of-form Gutho is still better than 80% of the players in the NRL. Don't get me wrong, but you can just tell he's just not his magic self. And I say this as a massive fan of Gutho. He is essentially my favourite player on the team at present. So, I not bagging the guy. I'm a huge fan. But, yeah, I just think, I don't know, a little bit out of form.
You might be right in the whole shutting down thing. I mean, draw two more comparisons. They figured out Tommy Turbo at Manly, and they're struggling.
Mm.
And James Tedesco at the Roosters, if you noticed, you haven't seen any highlights from him this year. He's been very quiet as well. So I don't know if teams are across the board figuring out fullbacks and what they do and how to shut them down.
Mm.
So maybe it's a focal point of other teams. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, we've got Penrith this week. So if anyone's going to figure us out and expose the chinks in our armor, we're about to find out.
Yeah, look, I'm of the opinion that we're just going to get tooled up here. So let's unpack the can of worms, because it all comes together here in that right now online, fans are firing up about Jake Arthur being in Dylan Brown's position, or even as far as Jake Arthur being in the team. There's talk of nepotism, of the father picking the son rather than making decisions at what's best for the team. And I don't necessarily really sort of subscribe to that theory. Because I don't see a lot of logic with his selection at the best of times. So the idea that I think he's deliberately shoving his kid in because he loves his kid, it's, well, if all his other decisions were logical, then that would really stand out. But it's not, is it? It's always, you at the end of a teamless Tuesday, it's always, why isn't this player in? Why aren't we playing this guy? Why is this player on the bench and not being used? Why is this player never getting a run? This has been happening since BA took over, let's be honest. And so I don't necessarily think it's just favouritism. I really think there's something fundamentally flawed with the way that he selects a team. I won't go into conspiracy theories that, you know, they say that Bryce Cartwright, you know, they joke about that he's shit in BA's office or something, and that's why he can't get a run. I'm not going in for the conspiracy theories, but honestly, if you looked at it clinically, I think you would agree with me that there are better choices he could be making, and that's what I think is upsetting the fans right now.
I can't believe that Dylan Brown is our best current option at centre.
Mm.
I can't.
Yep.
Bryce Cartwright, yeah, he's a back row or whatever, but he could at least play 60 minutes out at centre, and you could maybe rotate him with Sean Lane or Maddo in accordance with the bench rotation, which I know you've just shat on as well.
Mm.
But it's beggar's belief that Brad Arthur genuinely believes our best option at centre right now is Dylan Brown, who's in career best form at pivot.
Yep.
And this is just all rolling downhill now because now his son's the target of online trolling.
Yep.
His Instagram page has been torn up by Eels fans.
Mm-hmm.
Personal attacks on both Jake and Brad.
Yep.
You know, you can say trolling, and maybe it is, or you could say it's a bunch of fed up, frustrated fans.
Mm.
And, you know, let's not shy away from it. Me, you, and Bernie have all been of the same opinion that Jake Arthur, A, shouldn't be at 5'8", B, shouldn't be even on the bench. And it's nothing against Jake.
Yeah.
It's nothing against his development as a person, as a player.
Yep.
Because sooner or later, Dylan Brown will leave this club for a big money deal because he likes money.
Yep.
If Wayne Bennett's lunch breakfast with Mitch Moses went well, he could be at the Dolphins in 2-3 years.
Mm.
And by that stage, Jake Arthur will be ready to debut for the club as a full-fledged half.
Yep.
But he's not ready now. And I think it's killing the team's momentum.
Yep.
It's infuriating the fan base.
Yep.
It's putting all this pressure on Jake and all this hatred on Brad and Jake.
Mm.
And it's just, it's tearing, it's ripping the fabric of our team.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not Jake's fault. He's been put in too early. And that comes down to Brad and the selectors. That's totally on them. Totally on them. Jake's done nothing wrong. He goes out there and he tries his best. But he is that half step behind. He's not ready for this position yet. He's got to stay, as Bernie keeps saying, put him in New South Wales Cup and let him develop in that position. But again, we come back to, we play people out of position. It's just so silly. It doesn't make sense. And I think everything is compounded this year because this is the year we've got the team. And if we don't win the premiership this year, then our window is going to close. Like the Bunnies closed last year. They lost Bennett. They lost Reynolds. It essentially, new coach, the whole team changed. So this is the position that we're in. And the faltering start that we've gotten off to has really upset people because everyone's on edge because we know that this is it. This is it for another 5-10 years.
Yep, absolutely right. This is it. Our premiership window shuts at the end of this season. Mm-hmm. And we've got, and you're right, faltering, stuttering, sputtering, losing games we shouldn't lose, you know, players out of position. Yeah, okay. Look, we could hold out until Micah Sivo comes back and Sean Russell comes back and Wonga Blake comes back. And God hope they're back sooner rather than later. And we can just see what a full-strength Parramatta outfit looks like, minus Hayes Dunster, obviously, and Ray Stone. Mm. But we need to find rhythm. We need to find rhythm before then because we're coming up against Penrith this week. Mm. We've got Roosters in Magic Round.
Yep.
And then a few weeks after that, we're going into the Origin period, and they're already talking about both Regan Campbell-Gillard and Junior Paulo will be picked as starting front rowers for New South Wales, and Mitch Moses will be Nathan Cleary's backup in the Blues squad, and Reid Marnie will be Harry Grant's backup in the Queensland squad. So we're losing four players, both our starting props and two of our spine players potentially,
yep,
to Origin, which is more game time they're going to miss.
Yep.
Which is more, you know, shuffling of the deck and rhythm that we're going to lose and momentum that we're going to lose and
yep,
team dynamic and team fundamentals that gets all skew-if. And then by the time Origin's over, we've got 6 weeks to the finals.
Yeah.
And I'm just worried that this team's not going to have enough time together as a full unit to gel and to be ready for Melbourne and Penrith and the Sharks and whoever else, the Cowboys, whoever they're going to throw at us in September. You know, we've got to be ready for it. We've got to be 100% for it. And right now, this team is not ready for finals football.
Now, to add to that, though, when we start talking about that top tier, the best teams out there, we can get all our players back. We can get rhythm. We can get momentum. But we still have the decision-making issues which are going to cost us games at that level. It's tiny mistakes cost you games when you're up against those teams who are clinical. And not resting players, not playing players in their proper positions, those are the decisions that are going to cost us then. So even if we get the full strength team, even if we get momentum, we've still got the decision-making process above it that's going to cost us our premiership year, and it is. And to rub salt into the wound, I then predict that at the end of, what, 23, or is it 24, they'll extend Brad Arthur again.
I don't know. I hope he starts being... I don't know how much Brad or that would read into fan comments or the board would read into fan comments. You'd like to think they would get a sense of the frustration and the urgency that the fan base is showing. You know, this fan base, you know, we've got the biggest membership in the NRL now, I think, or maybe the second biggest one, the Rabbitohs. This is a fan base that is passionate and fiercely loyal to this club, that wants to see this club run right, that wants to see correct decisions made, that wants to see this team here in the crunch time in September. So I just hope that someone up the chain is at least feeling some sort of pressure and accountability for where this team is or where this team could be. Because if we finish in the lower half of the top eight, I'd probably even consider that a failure. I think anything lower than fifth, I think this team genuinely, on paper, is a top four team.
Yeah.
Just based on the teams around us.
Yep.
But I think this team finishing sixth, seventh, eighth, even that's a failure. And then if we crash out in the semi-final again, everyone will be calling for Brad's head. I think even not making it to the preliminary final, I think he's going to start feeling precious a lot sooner than he thinks and than he wants.
I think you're smoking hopium. They've extended his contract. I really want to make a statement here because I'm still irritated by, I don't know if you saw the comments by Brad Fittler, and he essentially was slamming the fans and calling them trolls and, how many first grade games have you coached? Well, I tell you what, mate, I can tell you how many NRL premierships I've won. It's the exact same number as Brad Arthur since he started in 2014. Like the guy, seems like a good guy. He's built a good team, but I just can't understand. His decisions lack logic. They hurt the team. He's essentially he's almost like the handbrake in an F1 car, and we can't get ahead with him at the driver's seat with the hand on the handbrake. We need to replace this guy. But Parramatta being Parramatta, I think we're going to do quite poorly. Bottom of the top eight, maybe even take the Tigers spot ninth. And next year, it'll be same eighth or ninth. And then what will Parramatta do? They'll re-sign him. It's just, that's our future. It is.
It's a sad life being an Eels fan sometimes, isn't it? We're definitely going off the cliff after this year. Absolutely. There's no question. We're losing too much cattle.
Mm.
You know, this is it. Next year, even making the finals will be a challenge. This year, it's literally premiership or bust.
Mm.
But next year, even making the finals looks like a challenge.
Yeah.
Just for the amount of players that we're going to lose. I just don't know if there's enough time to pull Brad into line, maybe for us to see the potential of this squad, you know, because time is rapidly running out for us as fans for this premiership window. It closes in October.
Yep.
And it's panic stations now. They can call us trolls. They can call us what they like. But, you know, me and Bernie said it. It's alarm bells.
Yeah.
We can see it happening again. And I think it's just more born out of frustration than us. You know, because I'm with you. We were at Magic Round a year ago. We watched Jake Arthur make his debut against the Warriors.
Yep.
And we were so happy for him.
Yeah, he scored a try. It was awesome.
And we were so happy for the kid. And we were happy for Brad. You know, he had his little teary cuddle in the tunnel after the game that we saw. And it was such a touching moment.
It was, yeah.
You know, it's like, this kid's going to be great. You know, he's going to be a good player in the future. And good on Brad. You know, I got to see his son make his debut. But even then, we knew it was too early for him. And now that his Brad's hand seemingly been forced to play him week in, week out, it's all the fairy tale's over. You know, the feel-good story, the wholesome story is coming to an abrupt end. Mm. And now we need to start seeing results from the kid. And they're not coming.
Mm.
And for the level of expectation that we as fans have for this club, you know, something needs to be done sooner rather than later. And I hope maybe the return of a few players coming back from injury might right the ship, or maybe you're right and maybe it won't, but time will tell.
Brad Fittler also described us as miserable, jealous individuals who want nothing more than to discredit the coach. And that's the line that really annoys me, because if you misdiagnose the disease, then you can't find or administer the correct cure. And until this club openly and honestly goes, the bench rotation is terrible, your player selection is terrible, you need help with this, nothing's going to change. And so to say that it's nothing more than us wanting to discredit the coach, that's just, it completely misses the point as to why the majority of us are upset. And again, to circle back, it's the fact that this is our premiership window year, and the decisions that the coach has made has effectively, I think it's over already. I really think he's just hindered it. And I really resented that comment by Brad Fittler, because we care about this club. It's nothing against the guy. Man, if you just, even if you, I've been saying for years, take away the decision-making in terms of who plays in which position and who gets fielded. Take away bench rotation. Let somebody else do that. He just sits there with his 25 bottles of water and he just runs the game. That's it. Like, that's it. That's all you got to do. Because he clearly can't get it right. He can't. He's burning out our forwards. He takes Reed Marnie off after 60 minutes. He's just not.
I think a lot of this is born of frustration of the result of this game just gone as well. You know.
Oh, what? Not the Tigers match the weekend before where we lost to the Wooden Spooners.
you're right, maybe. But had this been a closer contest against the Cowboys, do you think we hear as much vitriol about, you know, if it was 1914, 1912, 1910, whatever? Do you think we hear as much vitriol from the fans as losing 35-4?
I don't think so. However, I'll make a point here that last week when we... last week was the Knights and the Tigers was the week before that. So last week when we touched up the Knights, my mate T-Dog's like, well, there you go. That just proves that Arthur and Dillbags works. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. They had terrible defence. So to me, I think the problems were still there. So even if it had been a tight game, that wouldn't change the fact that good teams are going to exploit the problems that we've got.
And we're coming into the goodest team of all this weekend. Penrith in Penrith. You know, this club, you know, we're going to start feeling a lot of pressure, if not already. And I want to see a response from the boys. I really do. Unfortunately, Teamless Tuesday isn't until tomorrow night. So we don't know what Brad's thinking. We don't know who's back. I'm worried about what could transpire against the Panthers. I think if Jake is reading any of the media, he's already feeling enough pressure as is. And if he's picked at 5/8 again.
Yep.
And he goes out there and he tries to overplay his hand to try and conjure up some try assists or some magic from a play that's not really there. And he makes more mistakes and he puts more pressure on himself. You know, this ball of yarn could unravel extremely quickly. And that's what I'm worried about for the kid.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And it's totally unfair. And he's being put in a no-win situation. And again, that's the coach and the selectors. They're the ones making the wrong decisions here. So... mate, I'm calling that we just get put to the sword. This is going to be an embarrassment. You know, it's going to be like a 70-2 type victory for the Panthers. That's my prediction.
I'd like to think Parra could at least get up for it. Maybe they'll be embarrassed into action. If not, you know, if Gutho or Moses and Reed want to get together during the week and, you know, it's the Battle of the West, you know, the derby, whatever you want to call it. I'd like to think the boys would at least be up for it because they should at least know it's a measuring stick game, but they should have at least known that the Tigers were going to come for us. They should have at least known the Cowboys were going to be good in hot, humid conditions in Darwin.
Yep.
Yeah, it's getting harder to get a read on this club and what I think this club will do versus what this club actually does is worryingly unpredictable at this stage of the season.
That's the way I think about it, though. I think, what's Teamless Tuesday going to look like? It's going to look stupid. It's going to be exactly like last week, and nothing's going to have been learned. Nothing's going to change. So that's where I think we're at. So let's end on a positive note. If we turn up next week and you're correct, then I'll drink lots of beers at Magic Round. If we get starched, like I predict, you'll drink lots of beers at Magic Round. And... if the game happens, there is no golden point, we'll both drink lots of beers at Magic Round. How's that for a prediction?
I think when I get to the stadium and when you get to the stadium, we'll find the nearest bar and we'll have ourselves a hell of a good time. How's that sound?
Well, I'm actually thinking, mate, I'm thinking we dodge the Suncorp prices this year and we just drink beforehand and afterhand. But anyway... we'll discuss that when we're down at Magic Round. If you're keen on starting your own podcast, then Buzzsprout is the platform for you. Podcasting allows you to engage in a topic that you are passionate about and find like-minded people who share your interests. We switched over to Buzzsprout from one of their competitors, and it was the best decision we made. The analytics they provide are insightful, the platform gets your show out instantaneously, and they have an amazing library of tutorials which help make your show the best it can be. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. So check out Buzzsprout today in our show links. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Following the link in our show notes lets Buzzsprout know we sent you, and if you sign up for a paid plan, you get a $20 Amazon gift card. Buzzsprout, check it out. But mate, we really appreciate you filling in for Bernie. Of course, Jono is actually one of the administrators on the Parramatta's Facebook page, so you can send us an invite there, and hopefully we've got some more of an upbeat show, because the last few have been a little bit down, a little bit depressing. So it'd be lovely to share some good news. And it's good to hear that a lot of the players are actually getting a run in Origin. That's flattering for them, and it's quite an opportunity. So good luck to them. And next week we will be back. Bernie will be back. We'll be talking all about the Panthers game. And as always, you can catch me on the Dummy M podcast with T-Dog, where we talk about all the shenanigans that happen in rugby league. And as we finish this show, mate, as we say every week, click go the Eels.
Click go the Eels.
The Parramatta's Podcast, available on all major podcasting platforms.